This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my co-host, who's seeking deeply. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Dave. let's not continue the conversation we were having before the recording started.
Hey.
Because
I'm happy if you are.
I was thinking elephant.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. These do things.
But no elephants. No elephants. We're talking
whales. That's another story for another time post-recording. Anyway. We're talking about, you know, there's been a disturbance in the tech force, as if millions of people cried out at once and they looked at their investments and went, oh my God. And bit of an interesting situation going on right now, or well, right now-ish.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. As usual, Roaring Elephant, we don't hype. We wait until things settle and then give our opinion. Or we're just lazy, that's possible too. But let's just go with the former one. But, things have changed over the time. I mean, as you said, when it came out, it was like, the world is ending, pitchforks. And now, a couple of weeks later, things have settled down a bit and everything isn't as rosy or disastrous or whatever you think it is as it appeared to be. But before we go into the depths, tell us about what actually happened.
Well, as we said, or as I said before we actually went in to record this, I don't really pay a lot of attention to the detail on stories like this because it is one of those things that, generally speaking, and we'll get to this probably towards the end of this episode, These things happen and then they blow over. Yes, a giant sea change will occur and then, you know, life goes on. People just get on with it. But essentially, at least as I understand it on the surface, all of a sudden, quote unquote, out of nowhere, a Chinese Gen AI provider released their DeepSeek Gen AI product. And all of a sudden, even without access to NVIDIA's flashiest and most expensive and most power-hungry hardware, was able to suddenly, in a much more efficient way, cost-effective way, deliver some pretty amazing results and benchmarks.
Allegedly.
Sure. Let's throw our Top Gear allegedly in there.
No, because as it turns out, a lot of the original information, whether it came from DeepSeek directly or from the media reporting on it, that's not entirely clear. But things aren't as simple as it turns out, as it was. Because, I mean, this is DeepSeek version 3. Mm. So did it actually come out of nothing, or has there been like a decade of work on this already before this is the culminating effort? And when they were talking about how little money this costs, there was a couple of axes there. The first one being, we're not using this big, expensive NVIDIA hardware because we don't have it. Well, apparently they do have it. The CEO of the company, or the CTO, I forget who it was, has some Twitter or something like that, messages out with like a whole bunch of the H100 Blackwell cores and everything. So there's some gray matter there. But even if they didn't do that, and they were trained on the hardware they said they used, so the non-Blackwell, the older versions, the H300s, not the 800s, then somebody calculated, not me, I can't count, but somebody calculated that the hardware alone already cost like $50 million. So having this trained on a budget of $3 million already is kind of shaky. But that being said, it is still, I think, definitely noteworthy that this was possible coming out of left field from China. And I mean, one of the things that I thought was a good take was that the protectionism that the US is doing by, you cannot sell these big CPUs or GPUs to China anymore. I'm kind of trying to find why. What's the actual effect of that? Because apparently, and this was, I think, also valid in the Cold War time, where there was a lot of sanctions between Russia. I mean, Jurassic Park says nature will find a way. Well, people are part of nature and people will also find a way. And actually putting up limitations is the ideal way to make people creative, to make people find ways to make it work. And this, I think, is a nice example of this. And in the end, we'll all benefit from it. Because apart from the training time, I've also read, and again, I wasn't there. This is information coming to us like anybody, that running this is also a lot more cost effective. They also are running the models on way less power hungry hardware. And one of the biggest complaints, and justified complaints, I'd say, on the whole Gen AI, AI way we're traveling now, is the enormous amount of power it's using. It's like 20 or 30% of the US power usage is going to these kind of data centers at the moment. This is a great initiative to show that, hey, you can still get very good results apparently, but on a lot less power usage, which is definitely a good thing. And since the DeepSeek people have actually open sourced this,
weights.
Yeah, the weights are open. So not the data set, but the weights. But still, there is a lot in open, apparently more than what OpenAI is sharing, for example. So there will be some ways of gleaning information on how they've achieved this. And what I've also learned in the last couple of weeks, because again, for me as well, this was kind of out of left field, these DeepSeek guys have been pretty open on conferences talking about what they're doing. So all in all, this might actually be a very good thing, not just for them, but also for the rest of the AI industry, because they've shown other ways of doing it. And never forget, Russia got Sputnik in the space before the US got it there.
Yeah. I mean, we sort of have talked multiple times in the past about, competition driving innovation. And this is just, another great example of that in action. And I think it's very easy for people to like knee-jerk reaction, oh, this is terrible, oh, the sky is falling, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that this is just the tech world. This is just what happens. Organizations innovate, make leaps forward, and then other organizations will leapfrog them, and other organizations will then leapfrog those. This is just what happens. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit jaded. I've been in this the tech space for a long time now, but I just have a longer term view on a lot of these topics, and we'll talk numbers and some of the financial impacts in a bit. But like, this is just what happens when you've got an exciting new area that people are exploring, and new discoveries are being made all the time.
It's a bit of a cycle, right? In my experience, it's like new discovery happens, something new happens, and then you start overclocking it in a general term by putting, are the 5 series GPUs better than the 4 series GPUs? Because they're more power hungry and extra volts gives extra stuff. And basically you do a discovery, then you milk it in a positive way to make it as performant as possible by overclocking it, making more power to it, adding more to it together, whatever, to a certain point that no longer is viable. And then you get a starvation period and somebody invents something new again, which does just as well, but at a lower consumption, rate. And that gets off. And that's kind of the up and down in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember Intel's TikTok?
Yes.
It was all exactly that. I can't remember which way around it is, but their strategy
talk was the overclocking it, basically.
Yeah. So like their entire strategy for years, maybe not decades, but certainly many years, was to do exactly that. It was to release something new, something innovative, something that was a genuine step forward, maybe that was the tick, maybe that was talk. I can't remember. And then the following development cycle was just about optimizing what they had, while in the background they were looking for that next step forward. And you know, back in the day, it was always like basically the nanometer shrinking was basically the core of what they were doing. You know, way back
in terms of
innovation, but
because they had to do it because they got into trouble because they were so focused on they had the market. There was all Intel, AMD was nowhere, so there was no more innovation, just overclocking stuff up until the point where AMD came out with the thing that came after Bulldozer. I'm not entirely sure what the exact name was there, but anyway, AMD suddenly came with something totally new, and Intel had done no innovation at that point, so they had nothing. They only had less performance. Sorry?
Athlon?
No, Athlon was before Builder. Builders was an Athlon one. Athlon was still the first one that was decent, let's say, a long time ago. But that's basically where Intel suddenly decided, let's kill our platform and go for that mobile chip we had. That was a thing that was a speed step. That was a thing, the technology was the algorithms that we were using behind there. That was developed in Israel, actually built for laptops. Mm-hmm. Which was a much less power hungry because laptops and still decent performance. So that was a new architecture, and the whole core was actually based on that thing. And at that point, Intel kind of rightfully realized it's fine to make something new and then milk it for as long as you can, but don't wait until you can't milk it anymore before you start innovating again. So make sure you do it in parallel. And that's where the TikTok came from.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good. They discontinued
Let's be really clear. That's not TikTok. That's very different. We're talking tick and talk.
Well, I don't know. It's short attention span, so I guess it's TikTok. But I mean, that's how most hardware definitely does it. And why is Intel in trouble now? My opinion, I don't know. Please don't buy stocks on discount. But basically, the die shrinking doesn't work anymore. And again, they fooled themselves in thinking they didn't need to innovate on anything else because the die shrink will just give us free increases of performance. And well, we've seen where that happens now. We saw the Qualcomm thing come in. Isn't really shifting the needle all that much. But the latest Intels were not a performance increase, but a power consumption, battery life improvement. Yeah. So they are changing things. But of course, there's a big competition going between Intel and AMD at the moment, on the CPU level, definitely. Mm. And what's good with this DeepSeek thing is that we finally have some competition apart from the duopoly from Google and OpenAI, which was pretty much the two dominant players here. I mean, Microsoft just used OpenAI stuff, so it wasn't its own thing. Meta still in there as well, but considering they open source a lot of their stuff, that also means that they weren't able to compete apparently at that level. But now having one that's totally outside of the US, different DNA, if you like, this should definitely work well. Only it turns out that DeepSeek was actually trained on a lot of OpenAI stuff, because there's some image screen grabs on the internet where you can ask DeepSeek how they were trained, and they say they're OpenAI or ChatGPT and things like that. So, but that's pretty much inevitable, to be honest, because even if you were trained it basically on the internet stuff, there's so much stuff about ChatGPT on the internet.
Yeah,
it'll have some influence there as well.
Sure.
And there's another nice thing about this, but I'm going to let you do some talking first.
Well, I mean, the other thing I was going to mention is that if you bring up the DeepSeek website,
just one moment, sir.
For those folks following at home on YouTube, we're now looking at the DeepSeek website, which is surprisingly minimalist, actually.
Yeah.
If you stay right at the top of the page. Actually, the bottom of the page is fine as well. The thing that I absolutely love is that the DeepSeek logo kind of reminds me of the old Twitter fail whale, which just makes me happy. I miss the Twitter fail whale. He looks very happy. So, yeah, there we go.
Fail whale. That doesn't exist anymore. It's the X fail whale, and it's called Elon Musk.
Fail whale vanished a long time ago, sadly, much like whales are doing in real life.
But anyway, it's also good to see that it's a very internationally focused website. I mean, typically Chinese things go towards the Chinese market. And there is definitely a Chinese version of it. You can click on it. But by default, the language is clean, it's crisp, it's precise, it has the benchmarks right in front of you. So this is not a couple of hobbyists or students that build something. This is big business or government, and probably both.
Yeah, $50 million plus is not more than your average student loan.
Okay, bad example, I think, but...
But yeah, I mean, maybe now it's time to start talking about like some of the financial impact, which is the thing.
Before that, that's one other thing aspect I just want to point out here, because one other thing that I like about this is that this will actually make people aware of the inherent censorship and bias in these models.
How so?
Well, do a DeepSeek search for Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. And of course, everybody's trying this and showing, look how this is. But this is identical on all the other models as well. Of course, every model has bias. Every model has their own little censorship on there. The US is also a country with the same-ish stuff going on. So this will, I hope, also kind of make people aware that, oh yeah, we shouldn't believe everything the ChatGPTs and Geminis of the world tell us. There is in those models inherent bias, inherent censorship about things that the things you don't know, you might not learn from a GPT kind of thing, because, and this is pretty much, this is a safe one to complain about by the Western world, because Western world complaining that OpenAI is censoring stuff, that's kind of hard to do because we're all friends here, blah, blah, blah. This is China, which is the bad. So we can be much more honest and open about that. And hopefully people will be smart enough, hopefully, to know that, yes, if it's happening in this model, it's happening in pretty much all the models, and having open weights doesn't make that go away, because weights are just the weights. It doesn't change how it's spaced, how the modeling was happening, how the training happened, how the coefficients put. So that's something also I hope will have a positive effect. But you want to talk about the positive effect on the stock market, I think.
Well, it certainly had an effect on the stock market. And obviously the one that made all the news was adjustment, correction, call it what you will.
Huge crash, everybody die, flames, pitchforks, come on.
Of NVIDIA. And again, for those of you following on YouTube, we're flashing kind of the various graphs up. But it's just one of these, yes, it, you know, it's dropped from the heady heights of nearly 150 down to the sort of slightly more sane-ish numbers of 124-125-ish, but percentage wise obviously that's a number, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, lots of organizations were impacted by this news in some way. And before we started recording, Mike, we flicked through a few different companies to see, you know, what this news that had a sort of impact on them. And Microsoft definitely had, you know, over a slightly different time window, they've dropped somewhat, but again,
This was the original one, and then apparently decided, yeah, they should drop further anyway.
yeah. And again, you know, lots of things happening in the background. Broadcom also had a fairly significant dip at the same kind of time as well.
And if you thought Intel did a lot with AI, nope.
Yeah, Intel really very little change over the time, which again, you know, does make sense. And again, Broadcom, for those that don't remember, did things like acquiring VMware, and also, you know, obviously their chips are used very heavily in a lot of the networking infrastructure and all that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, and never forget that anything that's high performance computing is CPUs are important, GPUs are important, but it's a network infrastructure that actually makes it high performance computing. Don't ever forget that, and that's why Broadcom is that's the reason that NVIDIA bought the InfiniBand guys, Mellanox,
Yeah.
I mean, they bought that with a distinct reason to build the hardware they're selling today.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this is all well and good, and you know, this shows a scary picture that was being bounced around a couple of weeks ago. But I think, again, going back to what we talked about right at the very beginning, in the grand scheme of things, this is really not all that great a deal. Because if you start to look at these numbers, and again, if you're following on YouTube, you can see, like, we've overlaid Nvidia, Apple, Broadcom, Amazon, Microsoft, all within across a 5-year sort of view. And the reality is, you can see the sort of over the 5-year period, the 2021 to 2023, there was a gentle upward curve at the booming of Bitcoin for Nvidia. Remember that time when you couldn't get a new GPU for love nor money? And
that's like today, to be honest. But
yeah, a little bit. But then the reality is that all of these companies, Nvidia, Apple, Broadcom, Microsoft, Amazon, they were all in the same kind of ballpark in terms of their sort of stock price. And really, it was the start of 2023 when things started to really diverge, primarily for Nvidia, that started a very significant upward trend 2023 to 2024. But then 2024 onwards, that curve steepened considerably. And we're looking at somewhere between 2,000% to 2,500% increase over that time, which is just phenomenal. Like, interestingly, most of the others have mostly stayed in that same ballpark in the grand scheme of things, with the only one that's also trended upwards, not as aggressively as Nvidia, but still have trended upwards in that 2023 to 2025 window, has been Broadcom as well. So, yes, their shares have taken a hit of late, but in the grand scheme of things, when you look at these over 2-3 years, they're still very, very highly valued. And okay, yes, it's taken a bit of a correction now, but the trend is still very much, if you look a longer term, very much on the up and up.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, to be honest. I mean, it's been 2,000% up since 2023-ish. Yeah. And this kind of a correction, I don't know. I would say these were automatic sell orders based on negative press sentiment. Somebody had some models running. If Nvidia has said negative press, then sell, whatever. Because it's just, it's more than a blip perhaps, but it's not significant. And give it another 6 months and this will be gone. Of course, depending on how the rest of it works. It would have been better, I think, if they got rationalized a bit more aggressively, because I do think Nvidia is being overvalued by a lot at the moment. Because they've got a bit of the problem of the old Silicon Graphics. They don't have a second line of products anymore, because the GPUs don't represent anything anymore. So that's not what they're going to make their money on anymore. And if an innovation happens in China or Russia or anywhere, and something actually comes up that can compete with them, and that will happen at some point, they will get complacent, hungry people are hungry. There is a problem for them if they don't wake up from this. And I give the example of Silicon Graphics, because I knew it from the inside. They disappeared in a matter of years. I mean, 2 to 3 years, they went from king of the hill to compost. And that is a dangerous thing, because there's a lot of money going over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, generally speaking, the tech world is very, very unforgiving when it comes to things like that. I don't know.
Because if it were unforgiving, I would have expected a bigger drop here. Because
No, I mean in terms of going from being like the darling in the limelight to being, you know, yesterday's fish.
What have you done basically. For me lately syndrome?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just because the speed at which things move. You know, if you're in a very different space, then the time between you doing something and working with a particular supplier or whatever and working with a different supplier is probably quite long. You know, if you're in the construction industry or whatever, like those things just don't change, don't move very quickly. But in the sort of ephemeral and swapping out new hardware every couple of years sort of side on the tech world, you can make those very big shifts over the course of a couple of years. I mean, if you're talking the software world, you can make those shifts overnight. But we're talking in NVIDIA, we're talking about hardware. You're probably not going to swap that out overnight. You're probably going to sweat that infrastructure, a decent amount. But when there's a next, significant breakthrough, your next cluster may not be stacked full of NVIDIA GPUs. It may be stacked full of, someone else's AI acceleration, and NVIDIA all of a sudden is left out in the cold. Like I don't see an immediate, threat right now. I think there's lots of things going on, but they're still in a very dominant position right now. But that doesn't mean that they'll always be there.
Yeah, I don't think it's the speed of change that makes this happen, because typically something that changes very fast is volatile, and typically stock doesn't like volatile; they like stable. For me, the fact that it's moved so fast is a underlying, I'm not going to say symptom, but cause perhaps. People investing in these companies don't know what they're investing in. They're investing on the promise, on the marketing. So companies, we've seen it with blockchain, where somebody totally unrelated to industry put blockchain in their name and their stock went times 100.
Blockchain orange juice.
I mean, just the marketing around it. And here, NVIDIA must be doing a lot of damage control on the public perception of their viability. And that is something that is very unforgiving in the tech world. If for some reason you can get a bad name, you will get dumped, because people who invested in this case NVIDIA don't really understand what it's doing. And if majority people say that NVIDIA is bad because reasons, I guess they're bad then, so let's sell them again. And sure, it's because of the volatility of the change in technology being so quick that people aren't able to keep up. I mean, we can keep up more or less because we're in this industry, but even for us, it's hard to keep up with everything. Mm. And typically the people that can keep up aren't the people with all the money, sadly. So it is still very dangerous. I mean, investing in blockchain is something I would never do. And NVIDIA, I have looked at it, but it's not something, even though they're growing like crazy, I wouldn't feel comfortable there. Again, please don't take us as advice, financial advice or anything like that at all. We're definitely not in those ranges. But I would not be surprised if NVIDIA goes away in a matter of months. It could go very, very quickly. And this was kind of a wake-up call maybe for some people. And having a bit more rational valuations would be a good thing across the board, not just for NVIDIA, but just for the whole industry.
Yeah, I mean, we had a fairly aggressive correction of the market, 2 years ago now, something along those sort of order of magnitude?
According to these graphs.
Well, yeah, I mean, depends how you look at it. But there was a fairly significant correction back then. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I don't think we'll see them disappear in months. But I think there is every chance that something will come out that will very much upset this apple cart. But this is not that.
No, I didn't mean in the next few months. I mean in period of a couple of months, but could be 5 years from now.
Yeah, I don't think it will happen quite that aggressively, but who knows? Like,
I think it will because they don't have a broad portfolio. I mean, I think an Amazon, a Google, and a Microsoft, and let's keep to these three. Those will never go away that quickly because even if Azure fails, they're still winners in Office. I mean, they have multiple. If you look at all of these big hyperscalers, have such a broad portfolio. Mm. If something goes down, something else is able to capture that. Amazon, if AWS goes bad, they still have all of the marketplace and the shop and the online shop and everything. They have that. Nvidia, if tomorrow somebody builds a better chip, they will probably try to buy it. But if it's in China, for example, they wouldn't be able to. And they don't have something to fall back upon. And that makes them, for me, dangerous as an investment. But who am I?
Indeed. Indeed.
So with that, we did ask DeepSeek to give us more inspiration for this episode. But both DeepSeek and ChatGPT said that this is enough for this week, I think.
I believe so.
You can support this podcast. You can become a patron contribution to help us keep this in the air. We're on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bells. Put some comments in there. Let us know you're out there. You can go to our website at www.roaringalpha.org. Links to the Patreon page, YouTube page are there. And you can send your feedback by email to podcast@roaringalpha.org. Until next time, my name is Deep Jon.
And my name is not an investment advisor, Dave.
I look forward to talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
See you later.